Well, I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name. It's nice to see the house so well filled. And I've been also stirred this morning in our study and in our singing, in our worship. And I'd like to look just a little further into the Word of God this morning. I guess it was still here in our time of prayer that I was trying to decide how I should start this message. I was working on another message last night, this morning, but it didn't get done. And so I set it aside and I pulled out a message that I haven't preached here yet. And it was a message that I wasn't sure that I was really ready to take up because, again, I've preached it once. It was an assignment. Because I would like to, I'd like to give it to someone else in the congregation. I'd like to give it to Brother Donald. Or I'd like to give it to Brother Leo. And you'll understand that when I give you the title, I believe. And that is Incorporating God's Word into Everyday Life. See, as I think about this message, I just recognize a great weakness in my own life. What does it mean to incorporate, to combine something with, to include it within, to combine one thing with another so as to form a united whole? Incorporate, as it's being used here in this assignment. In this topic, simply means to be included, to be made an influential, operational part of everyday life. An influential, operational part of everyday life. Of all people, as I don't know that I know each one of you personally that's here, but I think I can safely say this morning as Bible-believing, Word of God obedient, conservative Christians raised in Mennonite homes with the blessing of our own schools, we should be so drenched with the Word of God that it should be on our lips, it should be in our hearts, it should be filling our minds. And yet, why is it that so many times when we talk to others, when we walk with our fellow believers, when we are giving answer to an unbeliever, that we stumble around and that we maybe give arguments that are really only human reasoning, or perhaps we give our version of right living? But when it's all said and done, it's really been an argument between two men or two women or whatever it might be, because the Word of God and truth has not been brought into the picture. And why is that? Why is that? Could it be that a lot of us really don't have a comprehensive grasp on the Word of God? Maybe we need to initiate, Brother Arnold, some kind of hafiz where there is recognition given in the community, where this 12-year-old has just memorized the entire book. And so he enters some plateau of, that's an Islamic term for those who've memorized the entire Quran, I'm correct? They're recognized in the community for it. There's much attention given to memorization. And here, and those are just the words of Muhammad. And here this morning are the words of God. God revealed to us. We may know truth, but so many times we don't have it readily available to us. We know truth. It's not burned in our minds. and it's not simmering in our hearts like it should be, perhaps. I know this is starting out negatively. But I don't think I stand alone in this. Do we reference guiding verses of the Bible when we're discussing a situation? I can think of men who I look up to, who I've looked up to for many years, not because they're so smart, great, but they're men who, as you're talking with them, say, well, do you know what? They're in Ezekiel. You know what? Paul faced that exact thing there in Ephesus, and he said there in Ephesians 5. Do we have that kind of grip on the word? Do we have it? Do you have it? I can think of some men. I already mentioned some here. Someone who I was impressed with, and I'll just share names here. Brother Marlon Rosenberry. He's just a man who stood up there the other day for half an hour, and he just expounded the word without opening it up, because he had it in his heart and in his mind. Maybe some of you will get to meet Boney soon. But there was a man from the other side of the world, from an entirely different culture, raised in a background that's as anti-God as it can be. And yet I heard from that man's lips the Bible being brought into life and into situations. And I was blessed by that. Incorporating God's word into everyday life. I talked about this with my wife some. We were talking about this message because she saw me this morning poring over it. Change of plans. Yeah. We talked about this. Can I preach beyond where I'm at? Can I call us together to a place that's higher than where we're at? I'd like to do that. But I want to be honest with where I see my own needs. And so the burden of this message this morning is having to do with the question of incorporating, combining God's word into our everyday life experience. Combining that. Just comes to my mind now. See, the Word of God, when it is being presented to society and being used in our conversations, brings with it a special connection and authority. Some of you know that there is some signs on the back of my van. And the other day, I was traveling on 322, and somebody come by and beeped the horn, and there was a black man and his wife, and he was in the passenger seat, and he just went like this, and I forget what his motions were, but you see, we connected there around the Word of God. And then I was in the parking lot of Sam's Club here this week. And I just gotten out of the van. Our family was unloading, and a vehicle just stopped right behind the van. I looked over, and there was a man with his window down, and he said, I can't remember what he said, but he said it was affirmation of the message that was there. And then he said, God bless you, brother. And he was on his way. I just wanted to commend another brother who I just saw put some signs on the back of his vehicle. I'm not saying that everybody needs to do that. I just think that it is one of the ways that we can incorporate God's word into our everyday lives. I'll just bring it up now while I'm at it to memorization here in this body. Some in this body have led by example in that. I haven't seen next quarter's memorization selection yet, but by the grace of God, I intend to memorize it. Can we challenge ourselves like that? I think together we would be blessed to pick that back up and to make it, put some new effort into that. God's word, this thought of incorporating God's word into everyday life, this isn't just any word. We're not talking about my word. We're not talking about your word. We're not talking about a good word or any other word for that matter. We're talking about the word of God. That's what we're talking about incorporating. You see, there's recently just a news piece or memo that went out to the environmentalists and their agendas, and they gave them talking points. When you're questioned about how this is going to affect the economy, pivot to, what good health we're going to get from this. You see, there's all kinds of word being put out there. There is messages. There is people are filling their minds with something, humanistic thinking, the talking points of evolution. They're implanting their minds with words. But this morning, what we're talking about is not just some other words, but it is the word of God. And that's what we would like to focus on. For prophecy, 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the word that we're talking about. It is that word, that which was inspired by the Holy Ghost. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Yes, it is this word of God, the word of God that is being attacked, the word of God. You see, there in Florida or wherever it is, where there's the Ten Commandments yet at the one courthouse, the atheists have just erected their Ten Commandments, if you will, or their little sayings, whatever they put up. I don't even know what they put up there. But this morning, they may do that. But this, what we're talking about this morning, what we're looking into this morning is a word that comes from the Creator God Himself. It carries a weight and an eternal weight that, well, one writer said it this way, as we think about the Word of God and its attack on and how it is being attacked, he said this, and I'm just going to read it. In less than 10 years, a textbook is out of date. An encyclopedia is worthless. A library, a cemetery of dead books and dead ideas. But this book keeps living right on. Science has laughed it out of court. Self-selected scholarship has pronounced it out of date and dead for hundreds of years. Again and again, its funeral service is held. And lo, before the critical mourners have returned to their homes, it has arisen from the dead, passed with surprising speed the funeral coaches, and is found as of yore in the busy centers of life, thundering against evil, revealing the secrets of the heart, offering consolation to the sorrowing, hope to the dying, and flashing forth from its quivering, vital pages the wonders of the coming age. That's the Word of God. That's the Word that we're talking about. The Word of God includes the history of the world. It includes prophecies which have been fulfilled. It has teaching and instruction for life today in every culture. It fits in every culture. It can be applied. There is a prophetic word that is still going out today. All has not yet been accomplished. All has not yet been revealed. And this book gives us a little window into that future that is yet to come. This word is the word that we need for our everyday lives. This is where we find the questions that still haunt mankind. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where do I go after I die? That question is still being wrestled with, because the same Word of God, the same God who caused this book to be written for us, that same God is still the creator of mankind and life as it comes forth and programs into the minds and into the hearts of mankind, regardless of their birth, an accountability and a question that draws men to Him. Well, we can go to John 1 as just another aspect yet of this word. We're just sort of looking at the title right now. We talked about incorporating it. We talked about the Word of God. And I want to think about everyday life here just for a moment. And I have 5 points that I'd like to bring us, some sort of practical pointers of how we can do this, incorporating it into our lives. But John 1, you know the account. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And we could probably continue reading there. But as you think about the Word, maybe I could just say it this way. The plainest reason why the Son of God is called the Word seems to be that as our words explain our minds to others, so was the Son of God sent in order to reveal His Father's mind to the world. And so Jesus, in His life, in His actions, in His speech, all of that encapsulates this Word message that's brought to us from God. And so He is that Word. This Word is the Word that we bear in our hearts as disciples of Christ. We can memorize the written Word, and we should do that. But until the Word enters into our hearts through the work of God through Jesus Christ, it really cannot enter into our daily lives. See, there are people who are studying this book. They may have it in a college course. They may have it in some, and they study it, and it never becomes alive to them. It never translates into direction and encouragement and instruction in their everyday lives, because it's not been enlightened to them. It's because the Word is not in their hearts. And so we see this morning that what makes this new dispensation so superior to the one that was done away with in Christ is the fact that the Word of God enters into our hearts today and connects and helps us to connect to this written Word that's here before us. And so what is everyday life? We're to incorporate this into everyday life. What does that consist of? I don't know in detail what it consists of in your life. I don't know what your everyday life is like exactly. It's not important for me to know that, your occupation or what your home life is like. There's some of you here that I don't know. I have no clue. I don't know that. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what happens in your house. I don't know what your life, what phone calls you get. I don't know what you face exactly. But what I do know is that life experiences averages out to all mankind with many of the same struggles, the same sorrows, the same joys, many of the same feelings and emotions. And so that is the everyday life of mankind. That is the everyday. It doesn't need to be one particular life or another, one particular background or another. You don't need to have reached some plateau somewhere before the Word of God can become effective in your life. But it works on every level, in every society, in every life, and in every heart here this morning. It can do that. And so that is, I believe, the burden of this message. Can the Word of God, is it being incorporated into my everyday life and into your everyday life? Is God's Word a very real part of our lives? Do we connect to Bible verses when we're experiencing life? Do we connect to Bible verses when we're experiencing life? When we are glad, Psalms 126, verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, wherefore we are glad. Some of you is here. You see so many times, we're all made up differently. Some are more expressive than others. Some are less so, and all of that. But do we give honor to God for the blessings he's given us? Well, praise the Lord. There's one brother here who's good at saying that. Praise the Lord. Oh, it was just a small thing on a Monday morning, but praise the Lord. You're right. You are right. See, that's just bringing the Word of God and God into our everyday lives. So when we're glad, do we honor God with that? When we're sad and discouraged, well, we can always go to Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. We can go to that verse, and it's right that we do. Sometimes we struggle with that verse, don't we? Psalms 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When we're sad, when we're discouraged, God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. You see, that is a true statement, and regardless of whether it feels that way or not, by faith we're being asked to reach out to that and claim that word for us today. There's another person who's not here this morning that one of her sayings is, well, she's not been in the word enough. And I like that. We don't just read the word. But are we in the word? Are we in the word? Are we entering into the word? Do we enter inside of the covers of the book? And when we're facing temptations, thinking about everyday life, there hath, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we're facing need, we can go to verses that give us encouragement, that give us the promises of the Word. If God before us, who can be against us? God before us, who can be against us? And sometimes we don't know, as we face the challenges of life, we ask ourselves the questions, is this really where God wants us to be? Why am I facing all of these difficulties? And sometimes we can't find the answers to those questions too easily. But can we trust in the reality that as we continue forward in openness and humility and meekness, that God will not only show us the right way to go, but he will also provide for us. He will give us those things which we do need. All of us face everyday life. Any of you may face what at times seem to be like never-ending set of challenges. Does life seem a little too full at times? If that's what your life seems like, this is the life that our Savior, the Word, would like to enlighten our hearts. He would like to comfort our minds. He would like to strengthen our bodies. He would like to lift our spirits. And not just someday in the future, but today. Today. Every day. The Word of God entering into our daily lives. And so, what are some practical pointers? I think I have about five that we can look at to help us with this. We are thinking about how we can combine, how we can make a united whole of our lives in the inspired Word of God. And God does not really want, and May I just say yet, and before we move into this, that God does really want to be a part of our everyday lives. He really does. God's not, we must believe that. God's not interested in just Sunday Christians this morning. He's not interested, and it's right that we bring our books to church with us, and it's right that we're opening them up and looking into them, and I'll give you some verses to go through shortly. It's right that we're doing that. We must believe that. God is not interested. He's interested in being invited into our lives. He's not interested just in Sunday Christians. He wants to be invited into the trenches with us. He wants to be invited into the trenches with us, into the dirty, smelly battle of everyday life. He does. And sometimes we draw back and we say, well, God, until I sort of get my life in order here, then maybe I can handle what's in this book. God's saying, no, just come into it now. Just let me get into that. Let me walk with you in that today. And so, again, the challenge to my own life. Are we willing to do that? So number one, what is a practical pointer to bring God's word into everyday life? And that is a hunger for the word. Well, a hunger for the word. Jesus said in John 6:48, I am that bread of life. And so this morning, I have to ask myself the question, and I want us to ask it together. Do we daily have an empty spot that desires to be filled by God's word for us? Do we have an empty spot? And the reason I think we need to ask ourselves that question is there is, certainly is good, it is a right thing to do to pick up the Word of God when you're not certain if there is an empty spot and begin to read and discover that, you've just been blessed and you've been filled. But I believe that as Christians today, there needs to be a hunger and an appetite for the Word of God. There should be a healthy feeling, if you want to use that word, for a Christian is the desire to be filled, is a desire to know, is a desire to read. And I understand, I've just been reading through some portions of the Old Testament. Some of it's really hard to understand. What do I receive from that? How does that feed me for today? And yet, so many times if you'll stop and just look, you'll see a bigger picture of God working among His people. And perhaps we could see that, use our Sunday school lesson, an example of that this morning. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And so I asked you, how does life flow to us today? Cyprian, an early church father, made this statement. More strength will be given you and knowledge of your heart will be increased more and more as you examine more fully the scriptures, old and new, and read through the complete volumes of the spiritual books. His testimony was that there will be a strength, there will be knowledge as we read the Word of God that is necessary for the Christian today. Psalms 119:11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And so, if for no other reason, dear ones, this morning, there is a great need in our society today to hide the Word of God into our heart so that we can actually walk out into this world and be the people that God wants us to be living above reproach, to be able to face that temptation, that challenge that's out there, that faces us, that flaunts in our face. I already mentioned it, memorization, thinking about a hunger for the Word, daily Bible reading and prayer. Prayer time. Carry a Bible with you. How are we going to accomplish this? Get up earlier to have time to read and meditate. Download it on your phone, on your tablet. Have a New Testament in your top pocket, in your pickup truck. I've discovered recently that some of my early mornings have been a little bit challenging. And so I'll walk out the door with my Bible in my hand, And I lay it there in the pickup. And I discover it's towards the end of the day I'm headed home, and my Bible's still laying over there. How do we balance the challenges of life and the pressures of life and the schedules of life? I think it's a challenge for all of us, but a hunger for the Word. What I'm saying is, I recognize in that there's not an emptiness and a hunger that should be and must be developed in my life. And I repent of that this morning. Psalms 1:2 says this. Well, it's talking about Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Because I could ask for a raise of hands, someone who has experienced that this week. You know, I woke up at 2 o'clock and I laid there on my bed and I thought about the return of Christ. Or I thought about, Is it a part of our lives? I believe it's a part of the lives of God's people. Maybe it connects to what Brother Duane shared with our devotionals this morning. Could it be that we have been lulled asleep, softened up, filled up? There's not really an empty spot in our lives like there should be. Maybe there's crisis points where suddenly we discover there's a huge chasm and we want to get it filled up. And then maybe that's a man who has challenged me. And I didn't go looking for the book, but the book entitled Let's Roll, I believe his name was Scott Beamer. I don't know if any of you has read that book. And I'm not, basic point I want to bring out of it is my understanding was he was a person who was given to the Word. And I don't know much about his life, but I do know he was trying to memorize the Word. And to do so, he wrote with his own pen, on sticky notes, Bible verses, and he had them in his car. And they had the note that he was memorizing that morning recorded in the book, because it was the one that he had sticking up either on his steering wheel or wherever it was when he traveled to the airport early that morning that he was memorizing. What a testimony. What a commitment to the Word of God that we see in that man. And so, number two, a practical point, apply God's Word to every day. Apply God's Word to everyday life. Turn into to John 14. And we're thinking about practical pointers to bring God's Word into everyday life. And I'm talking about applying it to everyday life. And there's an element of that I'd like to notice here in John 14. Probably would have been better in a separate point. But if you'll notice in John 14, verses 15 through 17, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. There's two thoughts in that verse. And the one is, first of all, if you love me, keep my commandments, in verse 15. And so we see applying God's Word into everyday life is not only a command of God, but it is a testimony of our relationship with this God. And it continues on from there, though. He says, as we have that relationship, I am going to give to you my Spirit. And God's Word gets incorporated into our everyday life probably by no greater means than by the Spirit of God. As we obey and reach out into the Word, and as we study it, and as we bring it into our hearts, and as we meditate over it, as Brother Donald has brought out recently, we don't need to fear about that answer that we need to give, because it'll be there. Because these verses tell me that God is going to send a Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that the man who is contending with me cannot receive. He doesn't have it. It's not in his heart. And so he cannot receive it. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. And you'll notice down here in verses 23 through 26, Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Judas Iscariot, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so, applying God's word into our everyday lives is an important part of bringing God's word into everyday life, of bringing it into our lives today. We need to apply it. We need to choose it. We need to... See, God's message and God's word and will is being accomplished by you and I in our everyday lives. And so there is this great responsibility upon us. There really is. But as we meet God through his word, and that's a part of our everyday life, we enter into a cooperative effort with him. A teamwork, if you will, of accomplishing his will in this society. And what a privilege that is. What a privilege that is. We need to keep that. That's how we're going to incorporate it into everyday life, when we realize that there is a responsibility and obligation upon us. I want to turn back to James 1. There's a verse there that I want to just notice. James 1 and verse 21 says this: wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now engrafted means implanted word. The implanted word. So laying aside. This word of God becomes practical in everyday life when it is engrafted into our souls. Implanted. Let's continue on. The third point that I have for practical pointer of applying God's word into our lives is this one, by fellowshipping with the believers. This morning, I don't know what we would do without this assembly. I don't know. I don't know what we'd do without it. I don't think. I don't think we could make it by ourselves. I really don't. I see so much of what I receive coming from my brothers and my sisters. I receive encouragement that I need. I receive the challenge that I need. And that's why Paul lifted up, I believe, the writer of Hebrews, the importance of assembling, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day of approaching. Brothers and sisters, for the word of God to come into full bloom in our lives, we're just natural and carnal enough that we need to see it blooming in the lives of others. For the word of God to come into full bloom in our lives, we need to see it blooming in the lives of our brothers and sisters. And that's what gives us the encouragement that we need. That's what gives us the challenge that we need. We need the exhortation of others. We need the encouragement of others. We need the examples of others. We need the instructions, the support, and the accountability. We really do. And so if three of the brothers are able to recite the entire memory passage in the next quarter and two of the sisters, there is a positive peer pressure that takes place. And God's going to use it. He's going to use that. I can accept that challenge. Because as we see that, others partaking in that blessing, we say, well, I want that for myself too. Because these things don't just happen, but they require they just require good old-fashioned work. And it's a little bit like the Christian life, isn't it? They just require a laying down of self. They require a willingness to give up of my time, and they require some things of us. But in that, we receive this blessing. And so by fellowshipping with the believers, I believe, is a critical point of bringing God's word into everyday life. Number four, I have one more after this one, is another practical pointer for bringing God's word into everyday life is the love of God in our hearts for lost souls. The love of God in our hearts for lost. What motivates us? I asked you, if it's just me out here by myself and I'm just sort of concerned about somehow receiving God's blessing for me at the end of my life, I asked you, is that enough to drive me into the Word, to be filled up with the Word of God? Is that enough? And I believe that can be brought into our everyday lives further is as we contend for the faith, not just for our own lives, but for those of others, as we have a burden that Christ had, as we have a burden for mankind. Jesus said, go you therefore and teach all nations. I ask you, how are we going to teach if we don't know the word? How are we going to do that? And so right with the evangelical appeal of the gospel lays the impetus to be filled with this word of God, to understand it, to comprehend it, and to be partaking of the fruit ourselves, first of all. And so I see that as this love and concern and burden for souls is a motivation to applying and partaking of God's word in our everyday lives. God's love and God's word becomes a very real part of our lives when we have a burden to share it with others. And my fifth point is this, and I'm sure there could be others, but this is what stood out to me as I studied this message. Number five is, practical pointer is, humility and servanthood are key to incorporating the Word of God into our everyday lives. Matthew 20, verse 28 says this, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humility and servanthood are key to incorporating God's word into our everyday lives. We lose sight of ourselves as the word of God becomes real to us. Serving others means less me focus and more God focus. Less me focus and more. See, when I am one of the bigger things in my life, it's hard for us to see God for who he is, the heart of God for mankind, the love of God that we sang about this morning. We don't connect to that. And because of that, there is a coldness and an empathy. I'm sorry, that's the wrong word. But a coldness and a lack of care for those around us. And because of that, we really don't enter into the Word of God. And so I believe humility and servanthood is key to incorporating God's word into our lives. It works on a number of levels. Unless we are humbled before God, unless we have the same heart of Christ, of taking upon ourselves no reputation, and becoming a servant, then we really don't even see what God has done for us. God can't even work in our hearts. And so it's not only is it a foundational salvation point, but it's foundational in us receiving the word of God and applying it in our everyday lives, and being able to be the servant that God wants us to be. How are we to leave father and mother unless there is humility and servanthood in serving God with our lives? Have we lost sight of ourselves? Is there less me focus and more God focus in our lives this morning? Have we become a servant like Christ yet? As we desire to be that servant, Jesus, as he lived here on earth, His focus was doing the will of the Father. The words that he said, the words that I share with you, they're not mine, but they come from God. And so this morning is that, I believe that's the challenge of this point. Are we sharing the words of God or our own? And so that brings us to the end of this sermon, incorporating God's word into our everyday lives. My wife and I ask ourselves the question this morning, if our children's diet of the word of God was only coming from us, from mom and dad, how much are they receiving? How much are they receiving? And so I have a desire to allow this message to challenge my own heart, to sharpen me, to open up a little greater void to be filled by the Word of God, and to be able to use it and to share it in practical areas of life. To allow that to dictate our decisions, to allow that to answer the questions that do come. As church leaders, as moms and dads, as young people in service, absolutely, I believe the opportunity to serve the children of this city, to reach out to their parents, to work in Bangladesh or wherever it might be. I know that you can testify to that, to the fact that as you prepared for that lesson, as you tried to give an answer, we're driven to the word, and we need that in our lives. And so God bless each one of us as we endeavor to do that. And may we be more conscious of God's word and how it should play out in our everyday lives. God bless each one of you, and let's move for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you here this morning, this beautiful new morning, this first day of the week. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and how we can be instructed by it. Oh God, I just pray that you would help us. Not only that this would be, help us to see this as the living word, the word that's alive, the word that is breaking asunder yet today, that is cutting. I pray that this word would work in our lives and in our hearts today. Lord, we just recognize also, I do in my own life, and I believe it could be the testimony of others here today, that so easily we become caught up in our schedules and we don't give ourselves to the word as we should. And I pray that you would inspire us anew. I pray that as we enter into your word, that we would be instructed, that we would be able to be strengthened and encouraged, that we could face the wiles of the devil that we face today. I pray that this would be a church where the word of God is on our hearts, it's in our minds, and it's also on our tongues, that we can testify of your work in our lives, and we can testify of the truth of your word. And I pray that you would give us those opportunities. I pray that we would have opportunities to be tested in our understanding. And I just pray that you would work among us. Bless each one. Bless each one for being here. And give us the strength and grace that we need for this week in this society. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.